Hallelujah. We should have every prayer that we pray answered, right? And I'm going to give you the scriptural references why we can have every prayer answered. And I keep going over this and over this, but I know myself I have to go over it several times before I actually get it. I believe I told you some time ago, the Lord asked me, He said, what would happen if every one of your prayers were answered? And that is only, the Holy Spirit can only reveal to you the impact of what would happen if every one of your prayers were answered. But we can go with the Bible, and the Bible says in John 14:13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we're using the Bible, the Word of God, to establish and say every one of our prayers can be answered. Also it says in John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And I told you that fruit there that he was referring to was not the fruit of joy, love, and peace, and so on, but it's the fruit that is born when a believer gets their prayers answered. Okay? We went through these four steps. The fourth step I never covered completely, and that's the one I'm going to go over this morning more thoroughly, is the step four. Step one, we recognize the source of the opposition as being Satan, and we have to stand our ground. And I believe the scripture verse I used on that was John 10:10, where it says in the Bible that Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly, and the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So number one is we have to recognize the source of the opposition as being Satan, and we have to stand our ground. And the verse that I gave to stand our ground is found in 1 Peter 5:8, where we are to resist the devil. Okay? Step two, we want to make sure the promises of God, the scriptures, cover the things we ask for and are believing for. We cannot go beyond what the Bible says. Okay, so we have to use the Word of God, and the Word of God is what produces in the believer's life. So that is proved out in, I believe, Luke chapter 8, where it talks about the parable of the sower. It talks about that the seed is the Word of God, and that's what produces in the believer's life. Step three, we want to make sure we're not living in sin, practicing wrongdoing. And right there, in this step three, one of the biggest things is our relationship with other people and our relationship with the Lord. If our relationship with other people is not right, then our relationship with the Lord is not right. Now, y'all need to catch this here. This is very important. When your relationship with other people is not right, your relationship with the Lord is not right. Okay, so that was in Mark 11, I believe 11:23, 24, and 25. It talked about when you pray, if you have any unforgiveness towards someone, you need to make that right before you offer your gift at the altar. Okay, now step four, be sure no doubt or unbelief is permitted in your life concerning the promises of God. Okay? So, here we go into step four. Have you ever wondered if God heard you and wondering when your prayer will be answered? And I've been there before. I've been there and wondered if God ever heard me and wondering when my prayer would be answered. Now, I'm going to go back here a little bit. We have to have the scriptural foundation in our life to know that God does hear us when we pray, and we have to know that God does answer us when we pray. Okay? So here's the scriptural, here's the three witnesses that I gave in Daniel 10:12. He said, then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and chasten yourself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I'm come for thy words. So the very moment that he prayed, he got the answer to that prayer. And in Psalm 91:15, it says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And when he called upon him, when you call upon God, God answers you now. Okay? And that is really taking your faith and wrapping around it and saying, you know what? I've come boldly before the throne of grace, like the Bible says in Hebrews, and I understand that when I come to God, He answers me now. Okay? And in Mark 11:24, the third witness is this: therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Not at 6 months from now, not a year from now, but right now, you receive what you pray for. You receive that answer. Now, does it materialize right away? Sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does. There are a lot of people, when it doesn't materialize right away, drop back in unbelief. And they say, well, I guess it wasn't God's will for me to have that or to do that. God did it for them, but not for me. But the Bible says to resist, to resist, to resist. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's the one trying to get you to not believe that God answered your prayer. He's trying to insert doubt and unbelief there, okay? And it says in verse 9 that we are to resist him steadfast in the faith. Now, here's an important thing. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we are to fight the devil. A lot of Christian people run around and they say, I'm fighting the devil, I'm fighting the devil. But the Bible doesn't tell us to fight the devil. The Bible tells us to resist the devil. Okay, now there's a big difference there. A lot of people will try to fight when they should be resisting. Okay? You can't fight, you shouldn't be fighting something that you already have victory over. Okay? You already have victory over the devil, so you shouldn't be trying to fight him. You already have authority over him, okay? All he can do is just try to get you into unbelief. Now, here is in Acts 27:22. This is when Paul went out on the ship, and they thought they were going to die. Now, this is something very important, and as I prayed about this, I asked the Lord what I should do, and He said, I want you to tell them what you do when you pray. And this morning, I simply came before the Lord, and I said, Lord, I thank You. I thank You that Your Word is true. I thank You that all Your promises in Your Word are mine. I thank You, Father, that I belong to You. I thank You, Father, that I believe every word that You say, Father. And you know, this is something that Kenneth Hagin gave testimony in that book. He said this one thing right here got him through a lot of the hard times in his life that he faced. All he said was, Lord, I belong to You, I serve You. And you know what a lot of people are running around saying? I try to serve God. No, you serve God. Okay? If you're trying to serve God, you're not going to make it. You serve God. I serve God. You serve God. And I say, Lord, I belong to You. I serve You, and I believe You. I believe Your Word. Okay? So that was one of the things that he mentioned that put him over the top. Now, we as believers need to make a declaration. And I call this declaration time. I serve God. I belong to God, and I believe God. So when you go and you pray, or even when you're not praying, you can stand around and say, I belong to You, God. I serve You, God, and I believe Your Word, God. Right? I'll tell you, that'll start changing something on the inside of you. And I'm going to tell you, when I did it this morning, there was a joy that came up inside of me. There was a peace that came up inside of me, and a joy and assurance that I know that when I prayed, I got my answers to my prayers. Amen? Amen. What if Paul would have started saying, what if he was out on that ship and he said, you guys, this doesn't look good, and I think we're all going to die. This don't look good, guys. I think we're going down. The ship's going down, and we're going down with it. But you know, he didn't look at what was going on around him. He kept looking at the God he served. It was his relationship with the Father, right? It was his relationship with the Father. Now, there was something else he mentioned in here, and I thought it was very appropriate. In Matthew 7:24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, some say I'm built on Jesus. Now, we see time and time again people that say I'm built on Jesus going down with the ship. Okay? What this is saying here, and what I want to point out here, is this. You have to be a doer. The one who does the word, the practice of the word, that's a doer of the word, is the one that stands. Okay? The one that does the word, the one that practices the word, is the one that stands. This is how you resist thoughts of unbelief and doubt. When you start becoming a doer of the word, this is how you keep doubt and unbelief out. Because in James it says, who's the one that's blessed? The one that does the word. The one that hears it and does it. Sometimes we have a tendency just to hear it and not do it. But the Bible says you got to do both. You got to hear and do in order to be blessed. Okay, this is how you resist the thoughts of unbelief and doubt. Now, I put this in here in 1 Timothy 6:12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. That's the only fight that really the Bible talks about that we're to fight, is the fight, the good fight of faith. Because it's our faith that overcomes what? The world, right? Okay? Now, this is something that I put in here extra. Kathy and I were talking about this, and this is very interesting. This is about King Jehoshaphat and the battle that he was facing. And we've heard this probably several times, over and over and over. But I wanted to go over this because there's some important things in here that I believe that we can get out of this. 2 Chronicles 20:12, it says, O our God, wilt thou now judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do. Have you ever been in a position of knowing, of not knowing what to do? I've been there. I've been there, not knowing what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Now they turn to the Lord to seek for their guidance, okay? To seek his guidance. Now, again, this is the battle that Jehoshaphat and these people faced, and there was this great army that was coming against them, okay? Now, in verse 13 it says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now, here comes the Spirit of the Lord, because what did these people do? They turned to God. They looked to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. They looked unto the hills from whence cometh their help, right? That's what they were doing. They started to look to God. Now look at what it says here. It says, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Now this is very important. He told them that the battle wasn't theirs. When we face these things in life, even today, the battle is really not yours. Right? It's really not yours. Now, it says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. He said, you won't have to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now look at this, what it says in the Amplified in verse 17. I put this in there. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your positions. Take your positions. And you know, this is one area where I see a lot of Christian people fail to do is take their position. And I'm going to go over this and what your position. Well, what exactly is my position? You know, and I'll show you in just a moment here. It says, take your position, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. What is the first thing when we face something that tries to come against us? Fear, right? But how many times did God say, fear not? Fear not. Fear not. Now, I'm going to show you, it's not fighting, it's really resisting and taking your position of where you're supposed to be at. Okay? Now, here's what Jehoshaphat did in verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe, wait a minute, he's saying here, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so you shall prosper. Now, doesn't it say in the New Testament that we have a more sure word of prophecy? It does say that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now, look at what it says here. It says, believe in the Lord your God. Didn't Paul say when the ship was about to sink, didn't he say, believe God? Didn't he say that? Trust in God. Believe God because God told me. I believe God. I believe your word. Now, in verse 21, it says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Now, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take our position. This isn't really a fight that belongs to you or to me. It's a matter of resisting and taking your position. Okay? Now, look what it says in Ephesians 1:2. The Bible says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, where did he set him above? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, where's my position? My position is this. But God, who is rich in his mercy, in Ephesians 2:4, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, when he said, take your position, I'm going to tell you a key to this battle and to resist this doubt and unbelief is to know where you're at and who you are in Christ. Where am I seated with Christ? I'm seated in the heavenly places. Well, if I'm seated with Christ and he's above all principality and power, where does that put me? Above all principality and power, right? So, if I'm a joint heir with Christ, what authority do I have then? The same authority that he has, right? My position is the same position that Jesus has because he put me right there with him. Does everyone see that? Jesus put me right there with him. Now, this is something that you have to take your faith and say, Lord, I believe that I'm in a position that's above these things, and I recognize that it's the enemy, that Satan, that's trying to bring lack into my life, but I'm in a position over and above this, and I have authority over this lack. I have authority over the enemy. Right? Now, it says, He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, when fear comes in, when doubt and unbelief comes in, it's because we don't recognize the position that Christ put us in. It's because we don't recognize when doubt and fear come in, or doubt and unbelief come in, we don't recognize that we're supposed to resist, and the way we resist is through the Word of God and my position that I have. He's given me the authority. He's given me the privilege of using His Word. He's given me the privilege of using His name, which is above every other name, in order to overcome this doubt and unbelief. You know, there are times, I'm going to tell you something, and I have this happen. There are times when in your mind, it will be talking to you and talking to you about doubt and unbelief. But I'm going to tell you what, the only way you will ever defeat that thought process is to start thinking and knowing where you're sitting at in the heavenly places and knowing how to resist the enemy. Trying to take those thoughts on your own willpower is not going to work. The way you take, the Bible says to cast them down and to take them captive. The way you cast them down is by replacing it with God's Word and acting upon what He says to do, and acting upon what He says you have, and acting upon what He says you are. Right? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He hath loved us. Now, my position is in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And so is every born-again believer. Now, if you lack confidence, if you lack boldness, you have to start getting in this and saying, you know what, Lord? You made me sit with You in heavenly places, and You need to reveal to me what that really means. You need to reveal to me what that means, what I'm supposed to do, what I can have, and what I can do. Right? Now, this thing, and I've done it before, there is nothing wrong with having to rebuke the enemy from time to time. But more often than not, you'll find that you just simply have to resist and take your position. And that'll get rid of that doubt and unbelief. Right? Or at least that's what works for me. That's what works for me. Whenever there's doubt and unbelief that tries to come in, I get back into the Word of God and I say, Lord, Your Word is true. I believe Your Word. I believe that You heard me. I believe that when I come to You, I have an audience with You. And it's not being arrogant, it's not being prideful, because the Bible says we're to come boldly before the throne of grace. Right? Why does God want to answer our prayers? What does the Bible say why He wants to answer our prayers? John 15:8, Herein is My Father glorified, that You bear much fruit. That's why He wants to answer your prayers. That's why He wants you to understand what your position is. That's why He wants you to understand how to get rid of doubt and unbelief in your life. Because He wants to answer your prayers. And when your prayers are answered, our Father is glorified, right? So, my position and your position, if you're born again, is the same, right? We don't fight. We don't have to fight. Because He says the battle clearly is not ours. I just have to do my part and resist that lack that the enemy tries to bring in. And I have to understand my position in Christ. Right? So, we're going to go through step 5, which is sincerely desire the benefit. Step 6, ask God in faith, nothing wavering. Step 7, do not tolerate a thought to the contrary. And step 8, count the thing done. Step 9, give glory to God. And step 10, act as though you've received. This step 10 And many of you have read the book by Jody Osteen, John Osteen's mom, where she had liver cancer. And one of the things that she said in her testimony, how she overcame that, was, I prayed, I received, and now I started acting as though I had received it. She said she got up and she started taking care of her normal duties, and she said that her kids came to her and said, Mom, you've been healed, so you need to start acting like you've been healed. And that's what got her over. And I think that was back in the early 80s when she had that liver cancer. And it was, and if you know anything about liver cancer, it's usually fatal unless you have a miracle, right? So these things that I believe are a key to getting your prayers answered and seeing God glorified in your life. Now, one of the things about revelation, and I'm going to just go over this real quickly. There has to be, and I'm going to keep hammering away at this, when you take the Word of God, there has to be a revelation by the Holy Spirit to reveal what God is wanting to get across to you. If that's not happening, you're going to have a hard time getting your prayers answered. Now, I'm going to show you here, and I'm going to take some time. We've taken some time with this, but this is so important. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17, it says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, he is saying something very... Paul, the apostle, is praying, and he says in verse 16, he says, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And one of the things he started praying for those believers in Ephesus was this, that they would understand and know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He was praying for them that the Holy Spirit would reveal the Word of God to them. That's what he was praying. He was praying that the Holy Spirit would reveal the Word of God to them. So when I go before the Lord, I start saying this. We're going to all put this together here eventually, and it's not that overwhelming when you look at it and like, wow, I've got all these 10 steps and everything, and like I got to do this and do this and do this, and it's like I can't remember to do all this. So, but it's actually very simple. It's very simple. When I go before the Lord, I just start praying. I say, there'll be times where I'll just go before Him and say, Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, it says that, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, and He will show you things to come. I say, Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you've given me insight, revelation into your word. You're teaching it to me. You're showing me these things. And that's all I may say. Okay? All these 10 things don't have to happen in one moment of time. You see? There's a relationship with the Father that you develop. As you develop that relationship, you just are acknowledging. You simply start acknowledging all these things throughout the day, throughout the week to the Lord. Lord, I thank you. I give glory to you, Father. I thank you that I've received this. You see, I don't pray that all in an instant of time. Does that make sense? I think a lot of times we get overwhelmed and say, okay, did I do step 5? Did I desire the benefit? Did I ask God in faith, nothing wavering? Let's see, let me think. Oh, no, I missed step 6. Now I got to go back and redo the thing. You know, that's not what I'm trying to get across here that we have to do. When that relationship with the Lord, as it continues to develop, you'll see as you go along in your walk with the Lord, you'll just be going around like this morning. I was saying, Lord, I just thank you for your word. It is true. Lord, I thank you for the truth. I thank you, Lord, for for giving me the answer to this prayer, Lord. I thank you that you promised to me in your word in John 14, 12, and 13 that when I pray, that you'll answer me, Lord. You see, that's how I do it. And it's just, it's a conversation that I carry on with the Lord. I just carry on a conversation with him just like I would anyone else. Lord, thank you. Lord, you are so good. Lord, you are so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for my garden. Thank you, Lord, for my family. You see? You see how that works? And pretty soon, you've covered these things. You've covered all your... If you want to say, you've covered all the bases. Okay? So it's not... I have to do this all at once. Let's see, did I recognize this was coming? You know, all of a sudden there will be something that will come along and I'll say, you know what, I recognize this. This don't look right. This is lack trying to come in. This is doubt and unbelief trying to come in. And you know what? I'm quick to jump on it and say, no, I believe God's word. I believe God's word. I'll hear something on TV about the economy and I'll say, no, I don't live in that economy. I live in the kingdom of God. See? And that's the enemy. He's slowly trying to chip away at it. And I say, no, I believe God. Lord, I serve you. I thank you that I belong to you. Does that make sense? Does that help out? So, I just simply pray the word back and start thanking him. I can pray John 15, 7 back. Lord, I thank you that I abide in you. I thank you that your words abide in me. I thank you that you've given me revelation of your word. I thank you that when I ask, it'll be done. I thank you, Lord, that you'll be glorified as a result of your word dwelling in me and abiding in me. Step 7, do not tolerate a thought to the contrary, and those thoughts will come. Those thoughts will come. But you take the word of God and you resist it. You resist it. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things have a good report, it says, I believe in Philippians, think upon those things. And those thoughts that are contrary will no longer come to you. See, when I start thinking and I look up in the sky and I look up at the stars and I say, God, look at that. Thank you for this beautiful starlit night. Thank you, Lord. See, those thoughts of doubt and unbelief, then, they have no place. They're cast down. Because now I'm filling myself. I'm filling myself with thankfulness. I'm filling myself up with the Word of God and the promises of God. I thank you that I am sitting in the heavenly places with you and that you're going to show me your great love that you have for me, not only this in this age that I live in now, but in the ages to come, you're going to show me, Lord. You're going to take me to the different universes and show me the different cosmos, and you're going to show me these things, and you're going to show me all the different planets. See, Matt said something this morning about why, and he's asking the Lord why people fall back. It's because of their relationship with the Lord. It's their relationship. Why do they fall back? And their relationship with the Lord is not right. You can see, we've seen miracle after miracle in this church. We've seen people healed of some really strange diseases. But yet, seeing miracles didn't keep those people from backsliding when they came out of Egypt. They saw the waters part. They saw the pillar of cloud by day and by night. They saw it all. But yet, they were overthrown in the wilderness because of what? Unbelief. Just because you see a miracle doesn't necessarily mean you're going to believe. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, the reason why Moses didn't backslide was because the Bible says he knew God's ways. There was the difference. Those people that saw the miracles did not know God's ways, and they backslid. But I guarantee you, as you start being thankful to the Lord, Lord, thank you that your word is abiding me. I thank you that as I draw close to you, you draw close to me. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're showing me. I'm going to tell you something. Something will change on the inside of you. If you want change to come in to your life and to start seeing more answers to your prayers, quit talking. Well, I just don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to wear. I don't know what I'm going to eat. I don't know if they're ever going to get saved. I just don't know. But when we know God's ways, we do know. When we know God's ways, we do know. You know, I saw that person get healed when they got bit by that spider and they didn't have to have their leg cut off. I saw the miracle. But if I don't know God's ways, then I'm in trouble. There's a relationship with the Father, an intimate relationship where you know His ways. And I'm telling you how to get into this intimate relationship. Start opening your mouth and thanking Him and making some declarations. God, I believe you. Just like Paul did. Do you think that his relationship with the Father would have been where it's at if he didn't make the declarations that he made when he was on that ship? I believe you, God. I thank you that I serve you. So our relationship is just what Kathy was saying this morning. God doesn't wait for us to get all cleaned up. He still loves us while we were yet sinners. The Bible says He still loved us. And He still loves you. And I'm going to tell you how to develop that love relationship is just by simply declaring what He said in His Word. Take it and declare it. Doubt and unbelief will leave. I don't permit it because I know my Father loves me. I don't permit it because I know He loves me. He's given me His Word. He promised it to me. Amen? I can grab a hold of that. I love God, and He loves me. Amen? Well, let's go ahead and pray.